The message today is the greatness of the writings of Moses to reveal the Messiah, to lead to repentance, and to make known the fullness of the mind of God. I want to read three scriptures to you, two in the New Testament and one in the Old Testament. You'll see the connection as they're read. Of all things, one man in the place of torment is talking to Abraham, the place of bliss. That's where he is. And in Luke chapter 16, this is what the man in torment says in verse 27. I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. This is the estimate of Abraham and the writings of God's word, especially Moses, from heaven. So now let's turn to John 5 and see what a greater than Abraham says about the writings of Moses. Verse 39, John 5:39. Search the scriptures, because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these are they which bear witness of me. And you will not come to me, that you may have life. I receive not glory from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in yourselves. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can you believe, who receive glory one of another, and the glory that cometh from the only God you seek not? Think not that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. They place their trust in him. And it says, Moses will accuse you unto the Father. You've set your hope on him. Verse 46, 4. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now, let's look at that passage in Deuteronomy 18, because this is the greatest testimony of Moses in a testimony of words concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 18, starting at verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well said that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto me. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, how invaluable are the scriptures that you have been giving to your followers from of old. You gave them to Moses, and then, Father, to Joshua, and then Samuel, and Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and all the prophets. We are thankful, our God, that thou hast given us this testimony from thyself. We are thankful for what your Son has told us about it when he was on earth. We thank you for what Abraham told us about it when he was in thy presence. And we pray that we shall understand the testimony of heaven and of earth concerning the greatness of the writings, in particular of Moses, the servant of God. And that is what we desire to know about today. So help us by the power of thy Spirit. You know our hearts. You know what they need to receive. And you alone can prepare them to receive the truth of God. And you know the weakness of your servant, but you are able to give power to the words he speaks. So by thy Spirit, accomplish that, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There are some who never in their whole life have even heard of the Word of God, much less searched the Word of God. So if they are going to expect someone to come to redeem their souls, they will have to be told. But there are others, like the children of Israel, who have had the Word of God given to them from the time of Moses and thereafter. And when God started giving his Word to be written down, he saw to it that it was sufficient to do no less than three things. First of all, to reveal his Son, the promised Messiah, to lead man to repentance, and to make known the mind of God concerning all things that he wants his creatures to do, to live by. So that is a remarkable burden that God has placed upon men, and it is a wonderful promise of God that everything that he expects of his word can be realized by his word, and by many it has been realized by his word. The strange thing is this, that some who were not scholars of the Word of God were convinced that the purpose, the main purpose of God in revealing the coming Messiah to the nation of Israel, it was realized. Because in John chapter 1, when the Lord Jesus went and spoke to a few of those that were to become his disciples, they went and told others, "We have found the Messiah." And the others said, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law wrote, Jesus of Nazareth." So think of these two things. Some had found the Messiah. Well, how did they know the Messiah? There were only two ways that he could be made known. He could be made known by the fulfillment of all that God had prophesied concerning him, meeting all the qualifications that God said would be necessary to prove that he is the Messiah, and also to reach the hearts of men in such a way that when they read these things about the Messiah, they would realize that they were reading of the Messiah. Now think for a moment what I read to you from Deuteronomy 18. God made this promise. He said, I've given you one prophet, Moses the prophet. He said, but Moses is going to die, and after he dies, I will raise up. So this is the first thing. There is a divine raising up, he said, out of your midst, that is of the Jews, of your brethren, their own flesh and blood, a prophet like unto myself. So think of those four things. First of all, it's not that men are just going to come and assume the position of Messiah. It's like a man saying, I shall be a priest. The Bible says, no man makes himself a priest. No man takes upon himself that honor except it were given him of God. And in like manner, no man can make himself a prophet. That's a remarkable thing. A prophet is a special gift from God, and God has promised this, that after my servant Moses is dead, I'm not going to leave you without a witness. But in my time and way, I'm going to send that ultimate prophet, the promised Messiah. And just as Moses spoke my will all his life long, so when this other prophet comes, like unto Moses, my servant, he shall do the same. Moses spoke all my words. He told you everything that I told him. He said, and the other prophet that I shall raise up, he shall do the same. He said, now this is partly the way that you shall recognize him. He said, first of all, I will send him. Secondly, he shall come from the midst of thee. He shall be of thy brethren, and I will give him the words that he shall speak, and the words that I give to him, he shall speak unto you. The people had read that before, and therefore, those that had searched the scriptures and had read Deuteronomy 18 with understanding, that's what they were looking for. They received the promise that when Moses died, prophecy had not come to an end. Making known the mind of God had not come to an end. But he, throughout that time, sometimes a little from a prophet, sometimes a great deal from a prophet. Read Isaiah, read Jeremiah, read Ezekiel, and you'll see some of the prophets that God raised up, like unto Moses, but they were not the ultimate prophet that God sent. The ultimate prophet, and the Jews that were informed knew that, was the promised Messiah. Some of them thought that there were a variety of people that God would send. Some said, when John the Baptist was questioned, they said, why are you baptizing? Are you the Messiah? He said, I'm not the Messiah. He said, well, are you the prophet? He said, no, I'm not the prophet. Are you Elijah? He said, I am not Elijah. So the Jews, from reading the scripture, had expected ever so many things. Malachi tells us that Elijah is going to come. Deuteronomy tells us that a prophet is going to come. Other scriptures give various descriptions of what God is going to do for the nation of Israel in the future. And when they said, well, are you any of these things? John the Baptist said, no. He said, I am the one spoken of in Isaiah the prophet. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He said, but I am the voice that came to prepare the way of the Lord, that promised Messiah. And so here is another point telling us that this one that Christ says the Jews should have recognized, he is now upon the scene, and God, not only from the scriptures, but God by the mouth of John the Baptist, had borne witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Concerning all the things that John said of the Lord Jesus, I shall forego those and tell you that when the Savior was upon the scene, he pointed his finger and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Therefore, the Lord Jesus was designated by John the Baptist as the promised Messiah, as the Messiah that was going to die and take away the sin of the world. That is one witness. Let me bring them to your attention, because in John 5, there is an abundance of witnesses that Jesus is the Messiah. The Lord Jesus said, "I want you to realize that God has given witnesses of me, and not one witness, but abundance of witness." He said, "You have sent unto John, and he bore witness of me." He said, "My Father has borne witness of me." He said, "The works that I perform bear witness of me." And he said, "The scriptures bear witness of me." There are three others that I shall not tell you of now. But the Lord Jesus in John 5 says, all of these have borne witness of me. And the one that he is concerned about is the Word of God. He says concerning the Word that it has great ability, great power. He says that if you search the Scriptures and God is with you, the Scriptures speak of me. But just as in chapter 6 he said, "No man can come unto me except the Father who sent me draw him," this is what he said about the Word of God. "A time is going to come when they shall all be taught of God. Everyone that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." But this is what the Lord Jesus says, and it is so absurd. He says, "Search the Scriptures, because you think that in them you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me." He said, "You're in the right place." He said, "You've got a voice in John the Baptist. You were willing to listen to him for a while, so you've got the Scriptures as well." He said, "Search them, because you think that in them you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me." But what has happened is this, that they think that because Moses wrote the Scriptures and that they searched the Scriptures, they thought that because they were associated with Moses, they were descendants of those that Moses led out of Egypt to the Promised Land, and they thought that because Moses gave them the Scriptures and they were diligent in searching the Scriptures, they thought that that would result in eternal life. How sad. Think of this, that God gives us a Bible and he says, all you have to do is read this Bible. Just search it, look into it, examine it, do that, and you'll get eternal life. But the Bible doesn't teach that, and God doesn't teach that. In fact, God contradicts it. This is what he says. In the Epistle of James, he says, you're not to be deceived. Not the hearers or the readers of the Word of God are justified, but the doers of the Word of God shall be justified. So a man is drawn up short for this reason. He thinks because he's holding the inspired Bible in his hand and that he's reading it, that that's going to result in eternal life. But the Bible has no power of itself to save you. What the Bible does is to present to you an object of salvation. And that object is not Moses or any other sinful creature. That object of whom Moses speaks is the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. But think of the confusion of man. Because, and they rightly knew that God spoke unto Moses, they said, well, we will set our hope upon Moses. Because these are the inspired scriptures, we will search the scriptures. And by trusting in Moses, God's prophet, and by trusting in the Bible, we have eternal life. But the Lord Jesus said, that is not eternal life. He said, the scriptures are they that bear witness of me. The Bible is not an end in itself. The Bible is a book that points to one who is an end in himself, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me hesitate a moment and tell you the folly of man in this, that in days of old, men trusted in Moses, and men trusted in the Bible, and today, men trust in the Virgin Mary, they trust in the Church, they trust in the Pope, they trust in themselves. Consider all the things that men trust in. But they do not trust in the one thing alone that gives salvation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Moses spoke of Christ, and the Bible speaks of Christ, and Mary speaks of Christ, and every writer in the New Testament speaks of Christ. And what Satan has done is to delude you in pointing to Mary and Paul and the Apostle Peter and St. John the Divine and the Pope and all of these other important individuals that stand before men and say, I am the voice of God. Somehow Satan has caused you to trust in them rather than the one of whom Moses spoke, of whom the Bible speaks, and of whom Mary speaks. The Bible speaks about setting hope on something. Listen to what the Bible tells you you should set your hope on. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians says this. He says, God delivered us in the past. He is delivering us in the present. And we have our hope set on God that He will deliver us in the future. Think, God who raises the dead, Paul says, our hope is set on Him. Now that is an object upon which to set your hope. On God who raises the dead. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 1. He says also in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all men. How delightful. Paul says, my hope is on God who raises the dead. He says, my hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. And listen to what John says in his first epistle, chapter 3. It says, beloved, now are we God's children, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him even as He is. And everyone that hath this hope set upon Him, Jesus Christ our Lord, the appearing one, purifieth himself even as he is pure. And so you may set your hope upon God who raises the dead, upon the living God who is the Savior of all men, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming again, who is going to appear, who changes the heart of men. Set your hope upon them. But what they had done was to set their hope upon Moses, and some had set their hope upon Paul, and some had set their hope upon Peter. This is what they say in the first epistle to the Corinthians. Some say, I am of Paul, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. So here are three that they set before, and they say, we are Christ to the exclusion of all others. But Jesus Christ is not the Savior of a few. But Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men. The living God is the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. And this is what God wants us to know. That whether you read in Moses, whether you look in Isaiah, whether you look in Daniel, wherever you look in the Word of God, when you listen to any of his prophets and apostles, they all point to an object of faith. And that object of faith is not Moses, and it's not the Bible, and it's not Mary, and it's not the Pope, and it's not the church, and it's not a preacher. But the only one who can save is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is their folly. They're putting their hope in Moses, and the Lord Jesus says this. He said, you're mistaken. He said, you're listening to me, and you think that I am going to accuse you. I am going to condemn you. He said, but I'm not going to condemn you, because God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. He said, but the one on whom you are trusting, he is the very one that shall condemn you. So think a moment of what Moses says concerning the nation of Israel. Think of what Elijah said concerning the nation of Israel. When Israel was told the will of God, they said to Moses, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And before Moses could finish getting that revelation from God on the top of the mountain, they had had a golden calf made and they were worshiping it. And when Moses came down from the mountain, he is the one that accused them. He took the commandments of God and broke them and cast them down. And he ground that golden calf into fine dust and he made them drink it. And this is Moses, the one in whom they have set their trust. How strange. The only thing that they did that was right in appreciating Moses was this. They could trust him to intercede that God wouldn't condemn them right then, but that's the only trust that they could have in Moses. Moses wrote concerning them, you have tempted me these 10 times. From the very beginning when you've left Egypt, you've been disobedient to God. Now how are you going to trust in a man who stands before God in your defense and says, they tempted you 10 times. They are idolaters. They are the ones who caused me to be provoked and have kept me from going into the land of Israel. How can you trust in Moses when he is the very one that is going to accuse you? How can you trust in the Virgin Mary when in John chapter 2, the Lord Jesus told her, woman, what have I to do with you? And Mary turned and said to the servants, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. How can you trust in Mary who says, God is my Savior? The Lord Jesus Christ does not have God his Savior. He is God the Son, the Savior. And so Moses will condemn you, and Mary will condemn you, and the Apostle Peter will condemn you, because when the household of Cornelius, when he fell at his feet and would do obeisance to Peter, Peter said, stand up on your feet. He said, I am a man just like yourself. And so think of the folly of men putting their hope in unworthy objects. There is only one person in whom you can place your hope. And the Lord Jesus said, Moses wrote of me. Now, think of any man and see if he fits the qualifications that Moses wrote of in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Like unto Moses, who is equal to him? You say, well, let's think of Isaiah. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Woe is me. Tell me that the Lord Jesus ever mentioned any sin that he committed or any sin that was in his life. You say, there is none. In fact, this is what he said. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And so here is one like unto Moses. And even though Moses was imperfect, his life for 40 years is described this way. Moses was faithful in all his house. Think of that. And so here are the prophets of God. And I think of a glaring discrepancy. When Jonah, this prophet of God, is told by God to go and preach to Nineveh, and Jonah tries to reach Tarshish and get away from Nineveh, but God finally compels him to go. And so think of all of those of the past who have come, who have been prophets, greater or lesser prophets, better or worser prophets, and yet which one of them was equal unto Moses and superior unto Moses? You say, not one. Why, of course not. Until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then, if you must have a heavenly testimony, I've told you that Abraham from heaven said, you have Moses, the writings of Moses and the prophets, and they are sufficient to lead a man to repentance. But best of all, when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, it says the heavens were open, and a voice came out of heaven from the Father that said, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so, if God has said, this is my Son, and I'm well pleased in him, if Moses has described him in Deuteronomy 18, if Paul and Peter and John have described the Lord Jesus Christ, then why would you trust in anyone else? And how, when Moses describes him, do you read the scriptures and do you believe Moses, and yet you reject the Messiah that Moses spoke of? It's a contradiction, and the Lord Jesus said it is inconceivable. He said, if you believe Moses, you would believe me. Why? Because he wrote of me. If you do not believe Moses, you will not believe me. You have rejected his writings. You think you believe the writings of Moses, but you do not believe the writings of Moses. You go to the Word of God like so many Christians do today, not to find the truth of God, but having their own idea, their own inventions in their minds, and they go to the Bible and search diligently to see if they can find anything in the Bible that will bear up what they believe, what they want to preach to men. But that is not the way you go to the Word of God. You go to the Word of God with an open mind, praying, guide me by thy Spirit, O Lord. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And then you read in Deuteronomy about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you hear the testimony of John the Baptist. Then you read of all the other testimonies from Peter and Paul and John, the beloved apostle. And all of them point to an individual, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you say, he is the one that you've set before my eyes. And so the world is still filled with people who are trusting in the Bible itself, but the Bible can save no man. Trusting in another creature, whether Mary or the Pope or some preacher, they can save no man. The only one who can save is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This is what God wants us to know. Listen to what Paul says concerning Timothy. He says, from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Notice, the Bible makes you wise unto salvation to place your faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's why you search the scriptures, because they make you wise unto salvation, and all the scriptures point to one man who is the Savior of sinners, and that man is Jesus Christ the Lord. And the Lord Jesus says, you will not come unto me that you may have life. But remember this, that this Moses that you read from in the Pentateuch, and Paul and Peter in the coming day, they shall not be your friends. They shall be the ones that accuse you, because the ones of whom they wrote, you have rejected. And so the Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Trust the Savior and have God's eternal life. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank you for the simplicity of salvation. We thank you for the fullness of the testimony that thou hast given to salvation as it's found in Jesus Christ the Lord. Forgive all who are filled with folly in reading the Bible, in listening to the prophets, and yet not understanding that they are pointing to Jesus Christ as the only Savior of sinners. But we pray, our God, that we who have trusted him as Savior shall continue to search the Scriptures and find more about Jesus, our God. So open our eyes. Let us understand that the end of all things, that your eternal purpose is to exalt Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So may we begin this day giving him the preeminence, and then the one of whom you say, he is the one in whom I am well pleased. Then you will be well pleased with us and what we do with Christ. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.